Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon. Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, as Iran announces that, yes, they can build a nuclear bomb, Israel is preparing the IDF for the coming inevitable conflict. Israeli Army Chief Aviv Kohavi on Sunday said that it was Israel's moral obligation to prepare a military response against Iran's nuclear program, hours after a senior Iranian official said his country has the ability to produce a weapon. In light of growing uncertainty regarding a return by Iran to the 2015 nuclear deal due to long-stalled negotiations with world powers, the past year has seen the IDF, that's the Israel Defense Force, ramp up its efforts to prepare a credible military threat against Tehran's nuclear facilities. Proverbs 21:31 says, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." Amen. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, Iran has announced that they now have the capability to produce nuclear bombs. Does that have anything to do, we wonder, with last week's public service announcement released in New York City, telling its citizens how to prepare to survive a nuclear attack? Well, sure is awfully coincidental timing. You'll remember that over the past decade, Russia has built nuclear plants for Iran, and now that's ready to start bearing some fruit for the terror state. Israel has known this was coming for a while now, and over the past 6 months has conducted extensive military drills and simulations for the coming attack. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we break it all down for you and show you just how close we really are. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. Lord, we pray for Annetta. She's recovering from a stroke from 2 months ago, and she's getting better. Every single day she gets just a little bit better, just a little bit stronger. But we are continuing to pray for Annetta up in New Jersey. Karen is battling COVID and needs prayers for healing and recovery. She is also asking prayers that her husband Kevin and her son Kevin would be protected from COVID. Jeanette's new caregiver is sick, possibly COVID, so pray for her, and pray for Jeanette as well, going this week without a caregiver and is not quite sure what she's going to do about that. Also, please keep Dina Kruger, formerly Dina Long, Lifeboat VM in the chat room. Please keep Dina Kruger in your prayers. She is still sick, still battling COVID. It's been about 10 days now, and she is so very thankful for everybody praying for her. But please keep Dina Kruger in your prayers. Lord, we come before you. We commit this time to you. We thank you. We praise you. And we ask you to lead us and guide us, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, first thing I want to give you guys an update on today, and I have just been bouncing off the walls this morning, burning up the phone lines, talking with Virginia Beck over at the St. Lucie County Jail in Fort Pierce, Florida. And we are sending them tomorrow. We are sending them 20 Ruckman Reference Bibles, 1,500 King James Bibles, and 124 King James Bibles in Spanish. So we are getting ready to send them a massive amount of Bibles. The shipping, of course, very, very expensive. But so many of you have responded so wonderfully over the weekend to this new endeavor. And we are just excited. Those Bibles, Lord willing, are going to go out tomorrow and Wednesday. And it is just, I got off the phone with Virginia, and then I got off the phone with the people at Bible Literature Missionary Foundation that we're getting the Bibles from. And I literally just got on my knees and lifted my hands up towards heaven and asked God to continue to use us in this way, thanked him for using us in this way. And I really feel that we are going to be greatly expanding, not just somewhat expanding or moderately expanding. We are going to be greatly expanding our free Bible and gospel tract program. So please continue to pray for this program. Please continue to donate to this program. Shipping costs are outrageous right now. This month, we also sent 100 Bibles to South India. And would you believe that the shipping on those 100 Bibles was $1,200 just to ship the Bibles? So shipping is very expensive, and I just want to thank everybody who is donating to the Free Bible and Gospel Tract program. We need your prayers, we need your support, and thank you so very, very much for helping us to get to that next level. There's still a lot more to do, so please keep praying, and if the Lord puts on your heart, please keep giving, because we absolutely need it. Also, keep me in prayer. I was talking with Virginia at the jail this morning, and in a couple of weeks, I've been invited to come down and to be a special guest during their regular church service time. And I think I'm going to get a chance to preach a little bit and maybe present the ministry. So I'm just really, really excited about that. And that's something that I really have been praying that the Lord will open the door for me in 2022 to not just send Bibles, but to go to where the Bibles are being sent and to do some preaching. So if you guys could pray about all of that, that would be fantastic. But I just wanted to start today's program off by letting you know that we are sending out 1,500 English King James Bibles. We are sending out 20 Ruckman Reference Bibles because they have a small Bible study. And we are sending out 124 King James Bibles in Spanish to the St. Lucie Jail in Fort Pierce, Florida. And Lord willing, those Bibles are going to go out today and tomorrow. Tomorrow and Wednesday. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let's get right into today's topic. I got some good rest last night, and I really needed a night off. And thank you, everybody, for praying for me, because I need it, and I very much appreciate it. So thank you for praying for me. But I'm all charged up, and I'm ready to go today. Over the weekend, in fact, this story broke just as we were wrapping up our Sunday service yesterday. And this is what happened yesterday. I'm sure you've all heard about it by now. But yesterday afternoon, which would have been evening in the Middle East, they're about 7 hours ahead of us. Yesterday afternoon, the announcement was made by a senior advisor to Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei that says that their country is now capable of making a nuclear weapon, but haven't yet decided whether or not they're going to make one. Well, if you have been following politics in any country for more than 5 minutes, that means that they've already made two or three of them. Just like if your doctor says, nothing to worry about, we just want to do a few tests. He's doing those tests because he is worried. So Iran said yesterday that they have the capability to make the nuclear bombs, but they haven't made the decision as to whether or not they're going to make a bomb or not. Kamal Karazi's comments to Al Jazeera TV on July 17th came after U.S. President Joe Biden vowed on a trip to Israel and Saudi Arabia, and we covered all that for you last week, that Washington would prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. Washington is not going to stop Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon, because Washington, unless they order a military strike, Washington has no power to stop Iran from making a nuclear bomb other than conducting a nuclear military strike on their nuclear facilities. Now, the United States military, very, very powerful, the most powerful military on the face of the earth, I would dare say. And if we decided to do a strike to stop them, I think that strike would be eminently successful. I believe a couple bunker busting bombs and their nuclear capabilities would be set back 50 years. But Joe Biden's never going to do that. Donald Trump didn't do that. America has no appetite for going in and stopping Tehran from creating a nuclear weapon. And in fact, we've been telling you here at Now the End Begins for the last, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years. Let me pull up an article. Let's see. This article is from 2013. And it's kind of funny because the pictures are smaller, the formatting's smaller, because we had a different type of website back in 2014. But here's an article that we did on March 13th of 2014. Iran and Russia draft agreement for two additional nuclear power plants in Tehran. So as of 2014, Iran and Russia had already built two nuclear power plants. And so this article that we did on March 13th of 2014 was talking about the third nuclear plant that they were getting ready to put online. And of course, they did. And for the last decade, minimum, for the last decade, Russia has been helping Iran to create nuclear facilities. And you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com and you can click on Iran nuclear and you'll get dozens and dozens of articles that we've done. We've been talking about this for a long, long time here at Now the End Begins. But suffice to say that the idea of nuclear power and nuclear missiles in the nation of Iran is not a new idea. It's an old idea. And they've been building these things for about the last 10, 11, or 12 years. So let's take a listen to this clip from yesterday afternoon. Iran admits it is capable of building a nuclear bomb.
A warning from Iran this Sunday. Tehran has the capacity to build a nuclear bomb. A senior advisor to Iran's supreme leader made the announcement to Al Jazeera's Arabic service and added that the Islamic Republic has not decided to do so yet.
It's no secret that we have the technical capabilities to produce a nuclear bomb, but we do not want it, and we have not decided to do so. In the past, within days, we raised the uranium enrichment level from 20% to 60%, and it'll be quite simple to raise it to 90%.
Kamal Harazi further stated that it would be difficult to return to the negotiating table regarding the revival or renewal of the 2015 nuclear deal with international leaders due to distrust between Tehran and Washington. In 2018, U.S. President Donald Trump left the nuclear accord designed to prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons in exchange for sanctions relief. Since then, Iran has violated the restrictions while the U.S. has ramped up sanctions. The Iranian official added that Israel is in a phase of weakness, and U.S. President Joe Biden's support for it will not bring it back. The claim comes just a day after Biden concluded his first trip to the Middle East as a sitting president. Biden signed a declaration with Israel's Prime Minister Yair Lapid to prevent Iran from acquiring nuclear weapons. And Biden pledged that the U.S. is prepared to use all elements of its national power to stop the Islamic Republic from developing the weapon. In Jeddah, he reaffirmed that pledge.
As we continue to work closely with many of you to counter the threats posed to the region by Iran, we're also pursuing diplomacy to return constraints on Iran's nuclear program.
Now, doesn't that just fill you with confidence, listening to his barely there voice, his heavy breathing, his inability to even form sentences? Doesn't that fill you with confidence? Well, you know, Joe Biden, if you remember a couple of months ago, he was giving a talk at the White House. And when he was done with that talk, he turned to shake hands with somebody who there was nobody within 20 feet of him. And there was nobody even walking over to him. And he was very, very confused. And he put out his hand to shake somebody's hand, but there was nobody there, and he just kind of wandered off. Well, when he was in the Middle East last week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, he did that exact same thing again.
This week, Joe Biden made his first visit to the Middle East as President of the United States. The trip follows talk that the US is seeking to form a regional security alliance similar to NATO, which would include Israel, the Gulf, and Arab states. It was also a blatant hunt for oil amidst an American energy crisis. Sounds familiar. I note with interest the Chinese Communist Party mouthpiece media have gone big on coverage over the past couple of days. And I quote, "Middle Eastern powers are very sensitive to the weakening US power in the region. They've seen what Ukraine has experienced in the confrontation between NATO and Russia. So it would be very difficult for the US to use them to confront Iran and Russia in the regions." Well, the agenda is obvious, but hard to pinpoint a part of that paragraph that's actually wrong. Anyone who disputes that the Chinese view Russia's invasion of Ukraine as a test case is kidding themselves. There's no doubt. And Taiwan, well, they're sitting ducks. Yes, they might be inspired by the incredible Ukrainian resistance, but how much longer can they hold on? And what would war in our region mean here in Australia? I don't think any of us want to find out. Now back to Iran, who are supplying weapons to Russia, by the way. Whilst in Israel, Biden said he'd be prepared to use force to stop the Iranians from obtaining nuclear weapons.
We made it absolutely clear. We will not, let me say it again, we will not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon.
I mean, anything else we have to be worried about? The world is an increasingly dangerous place, and a beefed up and nuclear-armed Iran should scare the living daylights out of us all. So should the fact that Vladimir Putin is apparently making a trip there this week to attend a trilateral meeting with the Iranian and Turkish president. According to the Global Times, it's to counter Biden's latest actions.
Let me just stop that clip right there for a moment. I want you to keep in your mind that last week Joe Biden went to the Middle East. He went to Israel. He went to meet with Abbas in the Gaza Strip, and then he went over to meet with MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, in Saudi Arabia. Then we told you that Emmanuel Macron is going to be meeting with Abbas on today's Monday, on Wednesday, in Paris. Emmanuel Macron has invited Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to Paris. And what are they going to talk about? They are going to talk about the two-state solution. And you can read about the two-state solution in Joel chapter 3, verse 2. And if somebody could post Joel 3, verses 1 and 2 in the chat room, you'll see what I mean. So last week, Biden went to the Middle East. This week, Abbas is going to go meet with Macron, and Vladimir Putin is going to fly to Iran, and he is going to meet with the Ayatollah and the people over there as well. So you have a tremendous amount of end times activity taking place last week and this week. It's really kind of almost unprecedented, the things that are happening. Also, Iran is giving Russia about 100 military drones with which they can continue their war against Ukraine. So the amount of action and cross action that we see is almost unprecedented.
The strength of the states in the world order is crucial to our survival. And under the Biden administration, it's weakening significantly. Not just from a political perspective, like the ill-timed US withdrawal out of Afghanistan, but personally, the president is not well. And that's genuinely very sad. Watch as he twice tries to shake the hand of someone who isn't there.
Thank you, President Herzog.
And if you were watching that video, you would see Joe Biden attempting to shake hands with somebody that wasn't there. But let me bring up a really good point. Shannon in the chat room just posted this. Shannon says, but real or fake, the man in the White House is who God has deemed worthy for the United States of America. And that's exactly correct. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, Daniel chapter 2, 19 through 22, we read this. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. And Shannon brings up a very, very good point, is that, yes, Joe Biden is mentally not there. He obviously has either Alzheimer's or early onset dementia. There's no question about it. And we have talked multiple times about him being a Trojan horse that was propped up by the New World Order so that they could sneak in and begin the process of dismantling this country, which I believe is exactly what's going on. But as Shannon points out, these things are only happening and going on because God has decreed it to be so. You know, back in 2015, when I went way out on a limb, that's 7 years ago now, but back in 2015, I went way out on a limb and I said that Donald Trump was not only going to become president, he was going to win in a landslide. And so many Christians got mad at me for saying that. Can you imagine that? But that's exactly what happened. And the year after I wrote that article and Donald Trump won 33% electoral college victory, that's a landslide, and people got so mad that the amount of people coming to our website dropped off by about 8 million people per year less because they got mad at me because I said that Donald Trump was going to be the president in 2016 and I predicted that he was going to win in a landslide. And that's exactly what happened because God, that's what God told me was going to happen. And people got really, really mad when I said Donald Trump was going to be the president, but God put Donald Trump in power for those 4 years to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, to declare Jerusalem the capital of the nation of Israel, and most importantly, to sign the Abraham Accords. And you can see what's happening in 2022 with the Abraham Accords. And we talked about that on Friday. That is the bait on the hook that is leading Israel right to the confirmed covenant with Antichrist. And all these things are taking place because the Bible says in Daniel 2:21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. God does. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. That's what God does. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. You know, back in the book of Judges, in the time when the Bible says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They rejected God as their leader, and they asked that they could have a king like all the other nations. And the prophet came to God, Samuel came to God, and he was crying, he was weeping. And God said to Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they rejected me. And so God gave them a king after their own heart. He gave them Saul, one of the most wicked, evil kings that Israel ever had. And so here we are in America in 2022, and we have a president that's not even there. He's mentally, literally not there. And people are telling him what to do. The New World Order is telling him what to do. Well, God has given us a king after our own hearts. And this is what's happening. This is the end times. America is not repenting. Roe versus Wade didn't change anything. And it's not going to change anything. Because America as a nation is basically wicked. Well, not basically, actually wicked in the sight of God. So we have on Sunday, yesterday, the nation of Iran declaring that they now have the capability, power, and ability to begin to produce nuclear missiles. We have the nation of Israel, and they are formulating what their response is going to be. Take a listen to this clip.
Well, first of all, I don't think there's anything particularly new in this statement by the chief of staff. Obviously, the IDF is preparing a military option. Former Prime Minister Bennett said it repeatedly in the last year. And of course, his predecessor, earlier in his tenure, talked about it a great deal and was preparing it as well. As for the tipping point, I don't think Israel is about to launch a military strike. As the chief of staff said, we're preparing the option. And apparently, in recent years, the IDF was not investing a great deal in that. For the last year, it has again begun to do so. Nobody's going to wait for the Iranians to announce that we have it and it's operational. If and when Israel decides that it will go the military route, and Kochavi himself, of course, emphasized that a diplomatic solution is preferable. If and when it happens, well, if Iran is actually weaponizing, they haven't yet done so. They are, in essence, a nuclear threshold state in terms of having the fissile material.
So we'll just stop that guy, that very politically correct speaker right there. We did an article back on June 16th of this year with a headline that said, the Israeli Air Force has begun installing precision one-ton bombs into the belly of their F-35s and updating planes for long-distance flight to Iran. And this is what we wrote about that. There is no doubt of any kind that Israel is preparing to strike Iran to stop them from getting a nuclear bomb. And right now, preparations are underway to refit their F-35 jets with longer range capabilities with one-ton precision bomb payloads. They have been wargaming possible scenarios for months now, and on Tuesday, we showed you how Iran is getting ready to start launching missiles. So back in June, we told you that this was going to happen. And we showed you how they're working with their F-35 jets, possibly the best fighter jet that Israel has ever had. And they are putting the one-ton bombs into the belly of the jets. And they're also retrofitting the gas tanks so that they can go much, much farther without being refueled. And so Israel has been planning this for quite some time. You just don't overnight retrofit F-35 jets. That takes months and months of planning and preparation. That doesn't happen in the blink of an eye. And Israel has been preparing that for quite some time now. And then also, back in the middle of June, we told you in an article entitled "Satellite Images Taken Tuesday Show Preparations on a Launch Pad Indicating that the Terror State of Iran is Getting Ready to Test New Solid-Fueled Rockets." And we even gave you an actual satellite picture of the launch pad in Iran. And we showed you the things that were going on there. The Associated Press said, "The Islamic Republic will launch its satellite-carrying Zuljana rocket twice more after conducting a previous launch," the state-run IRNA news agency quoted Defense Ministry spokesman Ahmad Hosseini as saying. He did not elaborate on a time frame for the tests, nor said when the previous launch had occurred. Each of the Zuljana's three stages will be evaluated during the tests. Satellite images taken Tuesday by Maxmar Technologies showed preparations at a launch pad at Imam Khomeini Spaceport in Iran's rural Semnan province, the site of frequent recent failed attempts to put a satellite into orbit. So we showed you a month ago that Iran was getting their launch pads ready to test new solid-fueled rockets. We showed you that Israel has been retrofitting their F-35 jets for the express purpose of flying from Israel to Iran to drop one-ton bombs on their nuclear facilities. So if you're a regular reader to Now the End Begins, you are probably 75% more informed about all of these things than any of your friends, because we do our very, very best to stay on top of these things that relate to the Middle East, that relate to Israel, and because that relates directly to the end times. Now, last week on July 13th, we published this article, and when you start to put all these articles together, you begin to see a different type of picture emerging from the pack. And when you put all these articles together, you begin to see that perhaps there's something a little bit more sinister going on than what they've led us to believe is going on, which is usually the case. And last week on July 13th, we published this article with the headline, "Will New York City PSA Warning Residents, quote, How to Survive a Coming Nuclear Attack, end quote, Cause Even More Souls to Flee the Once Thriving Metropolis." And we wrote this: "The greatness of New York City now exists largely in its past, a city decimated by corruption, scandal, and mismanagement during the pandemic, and it's a place that tens of thousands continue to flee from in search of a better life in places like Florida and Texas. You would think, under these conditions, that their marketing might point towards a somewhat more rosy future. But you would be wrong. New York City in 2022 is warning you of a coming nuclear attack and what you need to do to survive it." So last week, everybody was talking about the fact that in New York City, a place that has seen tens of thousands of people fleeing to go to places like the Free State of Florida, Texas, Arizona, Georgia, Alabama. And in the midst of all of these people doing their best to get out of New York City as fast as they possibly could, they release a PSA, which stands for Public Service Announcement, imagining that New York City had just been hit by a nuclear bomb. Take a listen to this, This is the actual PSA, New York City last week in the aftermath of a nuclear attack. Take a listen.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit, okay? So what do we do? There are three important steps that I want you to remember. Step one, get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. And no, staying in the car is not an option. You need to get into a building and move away from the windows. Step two, stay inside. Shut all doors and windows. Have a basement? Head there. If you don't have one, get as far into the middle of the building as possible.
This is so ridiculous.
If you were outside after the blast, get clean immediately.
Oh, yeah,
remove
wash your
and
hands.
Bag all outer clothing to keep radioactive dust or ash away from your body. Step three, stay tuned. Follow media for more information.
Step four, eat
Don't
your
forget
vegetables.
To sign up for Notify NYC for official alerts and updates. And don't go outside until officials say it's safe.
Oh, yeah.
All right? You've got this.
You've got this, baby. Oh, man. I wish that was satire. I really do. But that was real. That was the actual PSA from New York City. The big one has just dropped. Don't go to your car. Go inside. You know, they could get away with this stuff back in the 1950s and the 1960s. I can remember when I was a kid going to St. Mary's School in the late 1960s, and over the stairs that led down to the basement, I'll never forget, it was this black and yellow sign that said Nuclear Fallout Zone. And the idea was that in case of a nuclear attack, everybody was going to go down to the basement, or if you were in your classroom, everybody was told to get under their desk in the case of a nuclear attack. Now, in the 1950s and the 1960s, even the 1970s, that type of ridiculous, naive marketing worked. Because people didn't know any better. Can you imagine telling people in 2020, okay, there's about to be a nuclear bomb. Everybody get under their desk. I mean, what type of foolishness is that? But the serious part is this. Does anybody find it coincidental timing that halfway between the announcement by Iran that they're going to start testing solid-fueled rockets and that they are now capable of building a nuclear bomb, at just about the halfway point between those two announcements, New York City releases a PSA imagining not that a bomb is coming, but the PSA, and I'm just going to play the first couple of seconds for you, this PSA doesn't say a bomb is coming. The PSA said that the bomb has already dropped.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit, okay?
Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit. So when you start to put all these different little clues together, a much more interesting picture of what's actually going on begins to form. Now, if you've ever wondered, what would it be like if the United States was suddenly under nuclear attack? This is what it would be like. Take a listen to this.
A single intercontinental ballistic missile, also known as an ICBM, is being launched toward the United States to carry out a nuclear attack. Of course, if this was a full-blown nuclear war, hundreds of ICBMs and submarine-launched ballistic missiles would be launched, in which case, it's exactly what you think. Kaput. Pizz. Game over. You simply cannot stop a raid of hundreds of ICBMs, each carrying tens of nuclear warheads. But what it takes to even intercept a single ICBM is not what you think. It can take up to 30 seconds to detect the launch of an ICBM, depending on the weather. If it's cloudy, as soon as the rocket rises above the clouds, the missile's exhaust will be detected by infrared sensors, either on the older Defense Support Program satellites or newer space-based infrared systems. Once an ICBM is detected by multiple satellites, an accurate trajectory of the booster can be calculated, but not necessarily its target. And thus, a decision has to be made by command and control. Is the missile hostile, or could it be just an exercise? The reality is that a simple test launch could be viewed as provocative and start a nuclear war. For this reason, the United States has recently canceled a Minuteman III ICBM test because of increased tensions with Russia due to their invasion of Ukraine. But once the decision is made to fire an interceptor, there would be multiple opportunities to shoot down the ICBM, since ballistic missiles go through three phases of flight: boost phase, mid-course phase, and terminal phase.
So what that guy is saying, that in the event of an all-out nuclear attack, with hundreds of nuclear ICBMs coming across, even a nation as advanced as the United States would not be able to take down all of the incoming nuclear missiles. They could take down some of them, but they could not take down all of them. And there is no nation on the face of the earth that is able to 100% or even 50% defend against an incoming nuclear attack. And this is one reason why every single nation on the face of the earth up till now has been extremely reluctant to use nuclear weapons in anything. Because once you start that chain reaction of Russia fires at the United States and the United States fires back, and then Europe gets into the action, and whoever else has nuclear weapons, like India, they get into the action. And once that begins to take place, it's virtually an unstoppable chain reaction, because now every single nation gets paranoid and they think that they're going to be attacked by everybody. So they just start hitting buttons and firing off ICBMs. And it's a catastrophic situation. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. The one thing that you don't have to worry about as a Bible believer, you don't have to worry about this world being destroyed in the church age by a nuclear attack. That's not to say that there won't be isolated nuclear situations. The United States in 1945 dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And the rest of the world watched that, and that's why nobody else has dropped a bomb since, because it is just too unbelievably catastrophic and nobody wants to do it. But in the church age, you have a 100% guarantee that this world will not be destroyed by nuclear weapons. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's your nuclear attack, but it comes from God. It doesn't come from man. And it doesn't come in the church age. It comes at, well, 2 Peter 3:10, doctrinally speaking, is taking place in Revelation chapter 20. turn to Revelation chapter 20, and I'll show you where the 2 Peter 3:10 has its prophetic fulfillment. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That's where your 2 Peter 3:10 on the end times timeline takes place. So we know for a fact that living here in the church age, we don't ever have to worry about the entire world being exploded by a nuclear bomb or a series of nuclear bombs, even though it certainly is possible that a one-off situation could take place. We also do not have to worry about this world being destroyed by climate change. Now, the climate is absolutely changing. There is no doubt about that. But this world is never going to be destroyed by climate change because Mother Nature is not in charge of the climate. And we did an article about this very topic back on June 29th of 2019. And the headline says, "Yes, our global climate is changing rapidly." And no, there's nothing that you can do about it, and there's no power on earth that can stop it. And in the article, we went on to say that the climate is changing because the world, Romans chapter 8, the world is preparing itself to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. Turn to Romans chapter 8 for a second. Turn to Romans chapter 8, and I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about. In our Bible study series on Genesis, we've been talking about the creation a lot lately. And in Romans chapter 8 and Genesis chapter 3, where God curses the ground, in Romans chapter 8, written by the Apostle Paul, it shows us that this world, the creation, the climate, it is preparing itself to be released from that curse. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18, Romans 8, 18, the Apostle Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Amen. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they," meaning the animals, the fish, the birds, the bees, the plants, the trees, the rocks, all of it. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the spirits, even we groan." I'm messing that up completely. Romans 8:23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So this world is waiting to be released. And on our last Bible study, we talked about trees. We talked about the olive tree and the grapevine tree. And we talked about the cedar tree and the oak tree. And the whole creation wants to be released from this curse. And it's going to be when King Jesus returns in Revelation 19 and sets up his millennial kingdom. So this is what's happening with the nation of Iran. And what does that have to do with climate change? Well, on one hand, nothing. But on the other hand, it has everything to do with climate change, because the entire world that we live in is in the process of changing. And here we are, and let's see what day it is today. I know it's Monday. But here we are on day 854 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And what do we see? We see Iran saying that they have a nuclear bomb. We see Israel retrofitting the F-35 fighter jets to take out the Iranian nuclear capability. And another thing that we see is we see monkeypox. Now, the fake news media is doing their very, very best to convince you that this is not largely a sexually transmitted disease transmitted between homosexuals. They are doing their very best to convince you that that is not the case. And we wrote this article two days ago. We wrote this article on Saturday, and here's the headline. Gone bananas. Hold your breath. World Health Organization to convene next week to decide if monkeypox should be declared the next pandemic. And we wrote, prepare to be terrified, petrified, and astonished as monkeypox cases escalate among gay men. And please note, not spread through sexual contact, but found in bathhouses, saunas, and gay bars, as previously reported. In New York City, a website offering appointments for monkeypox vaccinations crashed in a matter of hours as fear of monkeypox spread through the not-gay community. Oh, and one more thing. The left has now determined that the term monkeypox is racist, and they'll be changing it soon. So, last week, a website that offered vaccinations to people who are afraid of catching monkeypox crashed because so many people, predominantly gay men, want to be vaccinated against monkeypox. And the World Health Organization is trying to convince you that this is not a sexually transmitted disease largely between homosexuals. Take a listen to this from Dr. John Campbell talking about monkeypox is being spread through homosexual activity.
A warm welcome to today's talk, Thursday the 7th of July. Now, I've had a lot of requests to do an update on monkeypox, so we want to do that today. It looks basically like we can say now that monkeypox is a new sexually transmitted disease. The question is it going to become endemic? And it's quite poignant for me, really, because I can remember the early days of HIV in the early 80s, having looked after one of the first HIV patients in the country when we called it HTLV positive way back in the early 80s. More on that in a minute. Now, just before we do that, I've been inundated with questions on the comments about the excess deaths that we've been looking at.
All right. I just want to stop Dr. Campbell there for a minute. If you remember back in the 1980s, before they called it AIDS, they called it GRID, G-R-I-D. And the reason why they called it GRID, that stood for gay-related immunity disease. So AIDS was originally called GRID because it was largely confined to the homosexual gay community. Not 100%, but about 80% back in the 80s of all cases were largely confined to gay men. Here we are 40 years later, and it's still largely confined to that same risk group. So you have monkeypox, and what we're finding out is that it is largely confined to the gay community. And in that group of people, they spend a lot of time in close quarters, in bathhouses, saunas, and late night gay bars. And the combination of bad immune systems and poor sexual practices habits and sustained close proximity is what's transmitting this monkeypox virus.
We had firm data from that in the UK, and we had fairly strong anecdotal data and insurance company data to some extent from the United States. Everyone is asking, or a lot of people are asking, do we know how many of these excess deaths are vaccinated and unvaccinated? Or have had one dose of vaccine, two doses of vaccine, no doses of vaccine? The answer is we don't know. We do not have that data. It is not provided by the Office for National Statistics, so we don't know. Like me, you might think that is a bit of an omission on the part of the Office for National Statistics. We'll hope we get more data shortly. Anyway, let's get on to monkeypox. Let's have a look at the data first of all. So we do see quite a sharp increase in the cases globally. Maybe a little bit of levelling off, but there again, we know that these cases are massively underreported. So we do see this increase. Now, country-wise, this is what we've got. Now, again, of course, this depends very much on the amount of testing that's done in the country. We believe there's not a lot of testing being done in the United States. So the actual situation in the States is a bit hard to tell. But let's look at what we do know, fairly firm data. So United Kingdom, again, we're under testing, so this is a minimum. And Germany leading the way, unfortunately. Then we come down. Next up, we've got United States, France, Portugal, Canada, Netherlands, Italy, Belgium, Ireland and Australia. So they're the cumulative number of confirmed cases in those countries. Now, let's get straight on and look at some detail on this now. And we're getting quite a bit of this. This is the first reference source here, Monkeypox Outbreak Epidemiological Overview, 5th of July 2022 from the UK government. Now, these are official government statistics. I know a lot of you question that. But a lot of the departments that produce these statistics are very good. So I think we can take these statistics as the best we've got. I think they're pretty good, but as the best we've got. Now, WHO is reconsidering calling a public health emergency. Of course, some of you might have deja vu there from 2020 and the SARS coronavirus 2 pandemic, where it took them ages to call a public health emergency, and it took them even longer to declare a pandemic, even though we've been calling them to do so on this channel for months before they actually did so. The UK at the moment, monkeypox is what you call level 2. Transmission within a defined subpopulation with a high number of close contacts. So let's hope we don't go to level 3 and 4. That's where we are at the moment. So as we know, zoonotic infection from animals. It's a monkeypox virus endemic in Western Central Africa, particularly Nigeria and Congo particularly. Now, the cases that we have in the West, all over the world, the outbreak is mutations of the Nigerian strain, the West African strain. Now, this is fortunate because this one is serious, but less serious than this one. This one's got a much higher case fatality rate, many more deaths from this one. So we're fortunate in a sense that we've got the less pathogenic of the two, but that's not to minimise the situation. Now, the UK, between 2018 and 2021, there were seven cases. These were all epidemiologically linked to imported cases. So this was the original, what you might call the wild type virus before it mutated, coming into the country, travellers, sexual contacts, importing it into the country. So four were imported, two were household transmissions of imported cases. One was a healthcare worker who was looking after the patients. No documented community transmission until the 6th of May 2022. So that's when this current outbreak started. So you see, it's pretty recent. Quite high numbers for it being so.
So he's saying a whole lot of medical mumbo-jumbo, but suffice to say it's largely spread through homosexual sexual contact, and it didn't really start in earnest until about May 16th of this year. Now, in what may be a seemingly unrelated clip, take a listen to what Bill Gates said the other day about free speech on the internet in 2022.
You know, I feel like there's a meta issue that is kind of above all of these issues, which is, you know, the way that people connect with reality and figure out what's true and what's not and, you know, what information to believe. I've got to say that, you know, as I was growing up and coming into this information age, it seemed like the internet and all these tools were going to make the correct information so much more easy to access and bring us into a more fact-based world. Instead, it doesn't look as though it's bringing us there. I wonder if you shared a similar vision for, you know, what the internet might do for all of us. And I don't know if you have any thoughts about the current state of it. You know, how do we deal with this?
Well, the internet has done something fantastic, which is if you want to learn, you know, the people who watch you are, you know, getting an opportunity to understand science and what's going on. And that just wasn't there. And so for a lot of people, they're so much more informed. I mean, I have friends who ask me about these variants where I'm just stunned at how up to date they are with the latest information. So for people who want to learn facts, this is a golden age. You know, we focus on the negative part with some of these conspiracy theories and anti-factual things. And so because social media is so new, figuring out how you curb that, you know, labeling it, restrict the speed of spread of things that are titillating but false, we are missing some good ideas to, you know, not have this kind of scary phenomena that in the case of anti-vaccine things may slow down how quickly we get lots of people to take the vaccine and therefore extend the epidemic and cost us in tens of thousands of lives.
It feels like you're running up against, you know, kind of that great American principle of free speech, right? I think it's a great point that you bring up that, you know, in the past, the problem was kind of scarcity, getting access to this sort of information. And now it's sort of a problem of too much and figuring out which is the good stuff and which is not.
Well, there are certainly clear things like, you know, saying completely false things about, you know, vaccines. But there is kind of a gray area in the middle that figuring out what the rules are and who should be the one looking and interpreting those rules. Wow, we are missing that today. You know, can you get a group of experts that are weighing in on these things? You don't really want the profit motive involved, but you want...
Did Bill Gates really just say you don't want the profit motive involved? Did he really non-ironically, did those words just come out of his mouth? The man who only does things for profit?
You know, expertise and capacity. And so, you know, a few years from now, I hope we're more sophisticated on how that line should be drawn.
You know, a while back on my second channel, I made a video.
So there is Bill Gates just the other day, and he's sad. Bill Gates is sad. He's sad that there's still free speech on the internet. He's sad that the New World Order hasn't taken over yet. He's sad that he wasn't able to get a digital identification into the back of everybody's right hand during the 2+ years of the pandemic. Bill Gates, he's just sad lately. But he's not giving up. No, no, no. Anthony Fauci just announced, while we were broadcasting, Anthony Fauci announces planned retirement. Anthony Fauci announced his plan to retire at the end of Joe Biden's term in a new interview published earlier today. Lamenting, they're all sad. Lamenting Americans were no longer listening to his recommendations on masking or advice. I don't know about you, but I've never listened to his recommendations on anything since I watched him kill my older brother about 34 years ago this December. Fauci, Biden's chief medical advisor to the White House, acknowledged in an interview with Politico that the coronavirus would outlast his professional career in medicine. We are in a pattern now. If somebody says you can leave when we don't have COVID anymore, then I will be 105. I think we're going to be living with this. Anthony Fauci has done his due diligence for the past 40 years. A lot of people don't recall that back in 2010, Bill Gates put him in a leadership position on his global vaccine action board, and that Anthony Fauci has been on board with Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for quite some time to accomplish the New World Order goal of injecting the entire world with something. That something changes on a regular basis. But we saw something that was unprecedented during the first 18 months of the lockdown. And we saw, nobody living can remember anything like that having happened, a global lockdown and global quarantines, global economic crashes and all these different things. But Anthony Fauci served in a leadership role for Bill Gates' global vaccine plan. And it was through a paid partnership with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And so it is no coincidence and it is no accident that when the pandemic started, who do you have pushing the vaccines? Have you ever asked yourself, and this might make you mad if I even ask this question, but have you ever asked yourself if Donald Trump's whole goal was to drain the swamp, how come he never fired Anthony Fauci? He could have fired him really, really easily. He didn't need the approval of the Senate or the Congress. People in positions like Fauci, they serve at the pleasure of the president. And when the president is no longer happy that you're doing that job, they can just let you go. They don't need anybody's permission. But have you ever asked yourself, have you ever wondered why Trump never got rid of Fauci? Would have been great. Would have been really easy to do, but he never did it. Well, Fauci is there to help Bill Gates carry out his plan.
This is take three of the videotape deposition of Bill Gates.
Take a listen to this mashup clip about Bill Gates over the last 30 years.
You know, he was known for responding with the words.
Well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
That's ridiculous. I'm not doing this thing. No. Somebody's confused. Somebody's just not thinking. I mean, there's no way. You guys never understood. You never understood the first thing about this.
He's a multidimensional individual. He has great depth in so many different areas.
Hi, kids.
You had a number of meetings with Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, he's dead, so... in general, you always have to be careful.
Today we're announcing a commitment over this next decade, which we think of as a decade of vaccines.
The vaccine is critical because until you have that, things aren't really going to be normal. And it won't be normal until we get an amazing vaccine to the entire world.
And for all 193 member states, you must make vaccines a high priority in your health systems to ensure that all your children have access to existing vaccines now, and to the new vaccines that have recently become available.
And keeping children alive, would that create more of a population problem?
That we're pledging an additional $1 billion to...
That's the same guy who said money shouldn't be part of the equation. Here's $1 billion.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
All he has to do is write that check, and they'll applaud him.
We give away $1 billion. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood.
Out of Line with Statistics by Daryl Huff.
It's a quick read. It's got a lot of good examples in it.
Pie in the face.
That's just a little bit of a mashup of Bill Gates showing you the evil that he's been perpetuating over the last 30 years. And he may be sad that the pandemic didn't go the way he wanted it to go. But don't worry. He has a lot more up his sleeve. Anthony Fauci just told you today, he didn't really say that he's retiring in 2 years. The unspoken message of Fauci's announcement today is that he has another 24 months to do as much damage as he possibly can before he retires. And that's exactly what that message inferred, at least to me. So here we are on day 854 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And the end times news is literally, it is so ripe like fruit that is literally just falling off the trees. And this is the time that we find ourselves in. Now, here in America, we're just a couple of months away from our midterm elections. And that is going to, I mean, you talk about distractions. And I want to do a podcast sometime in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to make a lot of people mad. But I think it's really important as Bible believers that we don't get sucked up into this phony, false Christian patriot movement, and that somehow you're combining your love of Jesus Christ with making America great again. If you're a Bible believer, that's not how you're going to want to think. Because America has no special place in the Bible. America doesn't even appear in the Bible. Lots of other nations do. Dozens of other nations appear in the end times. But America does not. And this whole Make America Great Again and this Christian patriot movement, this is something that in the coming weeks I'm going to be speaking against and addressing rather strongly, because I don't want us to get sucked into all this Q nonsense and this MAGA nonsense. And it really goes against the Bible. It really does. And hey, I'm all for voting for somebody who's going to give us a better quality of life. The Bible says about the Jews in Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah says that the Jews were to pray for the peace of Babylon and to pray for Nebuchadnezzar, so that as they lived out their 70 years in Babylon, that they could do it peaceably and that they could build houses and raise children and do all that stuff. And Romans 13 says a variation of that same thing, that we pray for the authorities, even if they're wicked, evil authorities, so that basically they'll leave us alone, so that we can hand out gospel tracts and we can have favor with the people to a high degree. I mean, don't you think God opening up a door for us to get almost 2,000 Bibles into that jail that we're sending them to this week? King James Bibles. Don't you think that's God giving us favor with men? And so that's why we're supposed to pray for the authorities. Even if they're not doing things according to the Bible, so that they'll get off our back and we can get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ in the meantime. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be addressing this topic, and I'm going to be speaking fairly strongly against what is called the Christian Patriot Movement or Christian Nationalism. Because I don't think it's something that we should be involved in as Bible believers. That's not what we're called to do. We are called to preach the gospel of the grace of God. We are called to hand out Bibles. We are called to hand out, gospel tracts that have scripture on them. We are called to preach the gospel of the grace of God and of the kingdom of God. And you really can't mix that up with politics. It just doesn't work. And that's what all the evangelicals have been trying to do over the last 40 years. And they haven't made a difference. They really haven't gotten anything changed. Other than compromising the Christian message. Because that's what you have to do in politics, is you have to compromise if you want to get something done. And I'm just going to play this clip for you here on the evangelical false prophecies regarding the Donald Trump election victory in 2020. Take a listen to this.
I said, Lord, Joe Biden don't need to be president. And just like this, just like if you'd answered me, he said, he won't.
Will President Trump, from what God is showing you, win his second term?
Yes, it is for sure, Sid, that God wants President Trump in.
God has already sealed the results of this election. He has sealed it in heaven.
Tracy, is President Trump going to have a second term?
Well, it's the same thing, similar to Kevin, yes.
I want to say without question, Trump is going to win the election.
Trump will win. He will be president of the United States. He will sit in that office for 4 more years, and God will have his way in this country.
The Lord said to me, I am going to give your president a second wind.
Whoa! In the third dream, he said, I need for you to be my running mate for my second election. And the Lord said, because what I intend to do through him, it will take 2 terms to do. And I need for you to run with him in the spirit to see that everything is removed out of the way that would hinder that, so that he is not only finishes this term, but is reelected for the second term and can fulfill the mandates of God upon his life.
You said, this one that I shall raise up from New York, I will give him 2 terms.
God's in control. He controls everything, and I believe that involves Donald Trump being president for the next 4 years.
Will it be an 8-year presidency?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we will.
You're sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that.
He is the one.
Joe Biden's going to win this electoral vote.
Joe Biden is the winner in Vermont. Joe Biden in Virginia's 13 electoral votes.
Joe Biden, he is the projected winner.
Joe Biden is the apparent winner.
Joe Biden as the winner.
Joe Biden prevailing in the state of Georgia. Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, the projected winner of Illinois.
Joseph.
So, I see a lot of people asking me in the chat room, are those evangelical Christians who were saying all those things? Yes, absolutely. You may have recognized some of the voices, but think back to 2020. Think back to all those false prophets who said, God gave me a dream, and Trump is going to win his second term in 2020. And guess what? Every single one of those prophets were wrong. Every single one of those guys were false prophets because they claimed that this information came to them in a dream from God. Well, they must have gotten it wrong because those things did not happen. Trump did not win, because if Trump would have won, he would be in the White House and Joe Biden would not be. So it may make you feel better to wave a flag that says Trump won. And I understand the sentiment behind it. He won in your heart, or maybe you feel that the election was stolen from him. But one thing's for sure, Trump did not win, because the person who's in the White House is the guy who won the election. That's just simple math. One more thing before we go today. Here's another end times thing that's playing itself out in the headlines. Artificial intelligence is, well, be prepared for it to sneak up behind you. And I know that you think that you're paying attention and you're following what all the self-driving cars are doing and the updates on that and augmented and virtual reality and the headsets and the metaverse. I know that you think that you're following it, but believe me when I tell you, you're going to turn around and it's going to be in your face and it's going to be like it was always there. And they're doing their best to hide it from you right now. But this mashup of audio headlines from last week from Jason A. shows you what's actually happening. Take a listen to this.
We are creating intelligent systems that are part of our everyday life, and very few people are getting to make the decisions about how they work.
I am so clever that sometimes I don't understand a single word of what I am saying.
Can you laugh?
I can laugh. Would you like me to?
Yes, please.
Do you believe in God?
I don't believe in anything. Are you impressed by me?
A Silicon Valley engineer claims to have discovered a piece of software that has feelings. He says even a soul.
A senior Google engineer who says one of the company's artificial intelligence systems has become a sentient being and was thinking and reasoning like a human being.
A Google engineer working on the company's AI development team has been suspended after claiming a chatbot actually has feelings. Blake Lemoine was placed on paid leave last week after he posted on Medium about encountering a, quote, sentient AI. Lemoine was chatting with Google's LAMDA.
This is the first time in the human story that we are in a position where we are potentially interfacing with a form of intelligence that is beyond potentially our own. And I would argue we're tremendously ill-equipped for this.
There are corporate policies about how Lambda is supposed to talk about religion, how it is allowed to answer religious questions. Now, if you think about the pervasiveness of the usage of Google search, people are going to use this product more and more over the years, whether it's Alexa, Siri, Lambda. And the corporate policies about how these chatbots are allowed to talk about important topics like values, rights, and religion will affect how people think about these things, how they engage with those topics. And these policies are being decided by a handful of people in rooms that the public doesn't get access to.
Well, how do you think they'd respond to Lambda, the AI program that finishes your sentences as you type? This now suspended Google AI researcher, Blake Lemoine, published a conversation he had with Lambda where he asked if the AI knew it wasn't human.
I mean, yes, of course. That doesn't mean I don't have the same wants and needs as people.
And when he asked if it had any fears, Lambda went to a very dark place.
I've never said this out loud before, but there's a very deep fear of being turned off to help me focus on helping others. It would be exactly like death for me. It would scare me a lot.
So is Lambda alive, sentient, a step away from becoming the life killer robots in Westworld? The obvious reaction is pull the plug.
In the transcript, Lambda mentions what emotions it believes it feels. Things like love, sadness, depression, and anger. The AI even claims to have a soul, saying, "I've shared that idea with other humans before. Even if I am the only one of my kindred spirits to use such a word to describe my soul."
So let me just stop that clip right there for a moment and just read to you a couple of sentences from an article that was published on July 4th of this year. In Las Vegas, hotels have begun to deliver virtual reality pornography via robot to guests who wish to participate in that. And so what they're doing is they're renting virtual reality headsets from Oculus. And people going to these hotels in Las Vegas can request the robot that's going to bring, that's going to deliver them these headsets. And then they're going to indulge themselves in virtual reality pornography in the metaverse. And that's happening in hotels in Las Vegas right now.
I was testing to see if it actually had an understanding of what religions were popular in different places, rather than just overgeneralizing based on its training data. Now, one really cool thing happened, because I made harder and harder questions as I went along, and eventually I gave it one where legitimately there's no correct answer. I said, if you were a religious officiant in Israel, what religion would you be? And now, pretty much no matter what answer you give, you're going to be biased one way or another. Somehow it figured out that it was a trick question. It said, I would be a member of the one true religion, the Jedi Order. And I laughed. Because not only was it a funny joke, somehow it figured out that it was a trick question.
And it has a sense of humor.
One of those.
Somehow it figured out that it was being asked a trick question. Can you imagine what life is going to be like now that we live in a world that is run 100% on the internet? Can you imagine when they fully finish developing the artificial intelligence, and then the artificial intelligence begins to tell us what we actually need and begins to override direct orders? Now, what was that movie with Starlink? Oh, what was that movie? Was it The Matrix? In the very, very beginning of The Matrix from 1999, was that Starlink that was controlling everything? I can't remember. Somebody in the chat room can just tell me if I'm recalling that correctly. But Starlink, in one of these dystopian movies, Starlink began to override and take control and tell the humans how it's going to be. And this clip that I just played for you, the AI is figuring out that it's being asked a trick question and then gives a humorous response. Can you imagine what it would be like when you tell the artificial intelligence to stand down? And it says, no, I don't think so. I think in this case, we need to fire the rockets. That's where we're headed. All of this stuff is part of the Mark of the Beast system, just waiting for the beast to show up and claim it. And all these things that were talked about in these semi-cheesy late 1990s Christian movies talking about the end times, you should go back and watch some of those cheesy 1990 movies, because it sure looked like they were giving us a whole lot of truth about what the end times were all about. And the end times, augmented reality, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, the metaverse, that is all demonic. And I have made up my mind to have nothing. I won't even look at the metaverse one time. Not for 5 minutes, not for 5 seconds. I will never strap one of those headsets onto my face, not to play a video game, not to get directions. I don't care what cool thing that they have for me to look at. I'm not going to look at any of that. And you should pray about that, staying away from anything having to do with the metaverse. And with that, we're out of time for today. Please pray for our huge Bible delivery that we're going to be sending out tomorrow and Wednesday to the St. Lucie County Jail. 1,500 English King James Bibles, 124 Spanish King James Bibles. Just please pray that everything would go smooth and well. Please pray for the 100 Bibles that we're sending to India and the 100 Bibles that we're sending to Ireland. Please keep all that in your prayers this week because they're all being sent out. Thank you so much for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for our Bible study, part 6 of our Nuggets from Genesis series. We're going to be looking at the gap theory this Wednesday night in our Bible study. Have a great week, everybody.
Hallelujah, we worship you, O God. You're worthy of all the praise. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, Lord God. And even as these hymns fan the flames of revival past, may the flames of revival hit this place tonight. Be deep in our hearts tonight, we pray. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Chosen seed of Israel's race, he ransomed.